The iPhone was introduced 15 years ago, and the world was never the same. But many businesses still held the same mentality of marketing that they did 20, even 30 years ago. Digital marketing isn't just a part of your marketing. It should be the core of your marketing. But where do you begin? Digital marketing is important to the growth of your business, but what does it mean? How much is too much, and how much is too little? And what are you supposed to be doing right now? The nuances of digital marketing can get complicated and overwhelming, which is why we hope that today we can shed some light on what digital marketing is and what you should be doing with it. Before we begin, please note our disclaimer. This is available in both our show notes and on our website, and should be referred to before and or after this podcast. So tell us, what is it? Why is it so important, this digital marketing?
So in business, digital marketing is about connecting your audience in the right place and at the right time online. Let's start with the two universal marketing concepts to kind of put some context around what we're going to go into when it comes to digital marketing. So the two concepts are inbound and outbound marketing. So we're going to start the conversation there. Outbound marketing involves kind of proactively reaching out to consumers to get them interested in your product or service. It's about sending a message to a massive amount of people in hopes of making a sale. The strategy is kind of rooted in the idea that the bigger group of people or bigger number of people that you send your message to, the bigger return you'll have. And in our age, that usually means things like pay-per-click, online ads, and spam emails, which we all love.
Oh yeah, they're so great. I'm always looking forward to them. Like, ooh, I wonder what spam I'm going to get today.
So much so that your email inbox also created a separate folder, a special folder just for that. On the flip side of that, there is inbound marketing. And inbound marketing centers around kind of creating and distributing content that draws people to your website. Inbound marketing is really focused on attracting customers in. Hence, that's why it's called inbound. Now, in the online world, this means putting up great content, usually in the form of blogs, videos, ebooks, and et cetera. And then, of course, also embedding some amazing customer reviews, testimonials, product comparisons, or service comparisons to essentially win your customer over. Now, ideally, in any business, you want to build both types of marketing. Not only does having a strong marketing strategy increase customer awareness of your brand and can reinforce the reputation of your brand, it also increases the number of prospects to which you can convert to customers. Couple a good marketing strategy with a strong sales strategy in which you diversify the ways prospects come to you, then you can also ensure a higher conversion rate of those prospects into those customers. In doing so, you're basically ensuring the longevity of your business and also increasing the value or possibly increasing the value of the sales price of your company should you wish to sell it. And oftentimes, the sales price of a company is based on a multiple of sales or EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, taxes, amortization. Mm-hmm. A mouthful, I know.
That's a great acronym.
EBITDA. So that's something to keep in mind when you know you're considering the need of digital marketing, regardless of what your end game is for your company. Now, in this day and age, the upside to digital marketing is that it can be way cheaper and just as effective, if not more effective, than traditional marketing. There are so many ways to do it yourself and reach a broad audience through digital marketing, which, unlike traditional marketing, involves both a cost of manual labor as well as cost of something physical, like printing flyers, printing direct mail, setting up a magazine or newspaper ad, or even broadcasting on TV and radio. Now, the downside of digital marketing is that it can be expensive because of the size and type of audience that it can now reach, and it's extremely competitive. Like Savannah, you were alluding to earlier, with the invention of iPhone and smartphones, those devices are now mini computers, which are stable in everybody's hands these days. Mm-hmm. With a willing audience, the demand of their attention is higher than ever, and will probably only increase into the future. Now, as a new business, it's never too early to start marketing your company. In fact, I would personally recommend that it's done as soon as you decide what your brand is. That means implementing a marketing strategy that is aligned with your branding strategy. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions about branding, you can conveniently listen to our episode number 25. And definitely pay attention to the next part coming up, where Savannah, you're going to go ahead and break down the 5 stages of digital marketing cycle so that our listeners can use that information to build a foundation of their own digital marketing strategy today. And then for those who may already be executing on their strategy, they can at least be aware of where they are currently in the cycle and then reflect upon what their next steps can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I am glad that you mentioned that you should consider starting your strategy at the same time as you start your company because of the length of time that it takes for it to come to fruition. And the reason why I say that is because marketing professionals agree that there are 5 stages in the digital marketing cycle. In order, these are setup, traction, positioning, expansion, and growth. It seems simple enough, and hey, this could get done and bring clients in within a day or two, right? No. Yeah. That seems to be the consensus in our 145 character, 90-second video world. You know, everything is on demand, but when it comes to the cycle, this is not something that you can do on demand. We're entertained and directed or modeled or groomed or however you want to look at it within, you know, that length of time, but it takes a person up to 10 seconds to decide whether they want more or if they're moving on. I mean, think about how long it takes you to make a decision on a video, whether or not you're buying into the idea or you're not. I mean, it generally takes anywhere from 3 to 10 seconds. It's not a whole lot of time, especially when you consider that the stages that I mentioned earlier, they could take anywhere from 2 to 3 years to complete. That's right, 2 to 3 years. This can be frustrating for any business owner that doesn't understand the nuance, which is like the only word I can think of for digital marketing, and the time it takes to be successful online. The only way I can describe it is that it's much like gardening, like the fishing versus farming I've mentioned in earlier episodes. You have to nurture it, take care of it, and pay attention to it. So where to begin? The cycle I mentioned can only work if it's done in order. It's a cycle, so you cannot skip steps. Each one is important. So you start with setup. This is one that many business owners skim over. Have you ever tried planting something? You put it in the soil, you water it, and then it dies. And if not, then maybe I'm the only one in the world that happens to over and over again.
Every single plant I touch.
I know. Me too. I'm like the black widow of all indoor plants. Even what's the one that's never supposed to die? Like a cactus? I don't know how, but I managed to kill those too. And succulents, I kill them as well. I don't know how I kill succulents, but I do. At least I'm good at something, right? So, what I usually find is that I planted in the wrong soil. I either gave it too much or not enough water, or I faced it the wrong way towards the sun. I mean, whatever it is, if you can understand that, if you can understand what it is to kill a plant or that you did the right things. You gave it the right amount of water. You put it in the right window, in front of the right window. You did all of the right things and you took the time, then you understand digital marketing. Setup can take up to 3 months to complete. During this time, understand who your audience is and where they could be. Okay, so I'm going to use another example here. Imagine you're at a party. You are dressed to the nines in a fancy dress or in a tux, and the party you walk into is a frat party. You would be overdressed, right? Okay, so now let's imagine you're in your athleisure, walking into a party with like chips in hand, and you come to find out that everyone there is in their business best, and appetizers you can't pronounce are being served. So hold that visual and imagine the party is your social media platform. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, you know, whatever. And the people there are the followers. Every platform attracts a certain type of
quote unquote clientele, if you will. So TikTok and YouTube attract the Gen Z and millennials. Facebook is mostly a Gen X and boomer hangout. LinkedIn is for all of the above, but in a business and more conservative setting. If you think of each of these platforms as parties, you can start to see where your clientele would most likely be. For some, it's Facebook. For some, it's LinkedIn. Others, Pinterest. To others, TikTok. To others, Twitter. You know, whatever. For some, it's a combination of the two or three. Whatever works for you. Just know where your audience could possibly be before deciding which platforms to focus on. Once you've established the where, you have to start establishing the what. What will your content be? How often do you plan to provide content? What does it look like? Start establishing a content strategy that you believe will appeal to your audience and then make it consistent. Create valuable points with your audience and prospective customers. Keep in mind that this is not just about creating content. You are creating a picture, a vision of what your clients will experience and what the face of your company looks like. What is it to be what is it to experience your company? Branding is very, very important at this stage. Take the time to learn who your audience is, where your audience will hear you, how they'll hear you, and what type of content you want to put out there. If you don't understand inner communication, this is probably the time to take a short course on it. The context that you should be connected to your brand, and your brand should be connected to your story, and that should be connected to the core of your company, and all of that is stringed together with inner communication. Now that you have your setup complete, next is traction. Traction generally takes anywhere from 4 to 9 months to establish. Traction and implementation go hand in hand, and this is essentially the first stage of a digital marketing cycle, whereas setup is your, quote, warm up to the game, end quote. Your goal during this time is to gain momentum. This could be increasing awareness, generating leads, and sales funneling. You are creating a virtual relationship with your audience and giving them a sense that they need to work with you or buy from you. During this stage, you want to pay attention to your analytics. What's working? What's not working? What time of the day do you seem to have more engagement? How often are you engaging? Does it make a difference? Begin collecting data to determine how best to optimize and then maximize your campaign and your marketing budget. Next comes conversion or positioning. This is going to take another 10 to 15 months to fully come to fruition. So please listen to my words. This is not a 6-month project. This takes a lot longer than that. You are developing brand loyalty and are starting to tick up on search engines. The work that you put into this thus far should become conversions now, meaning people are reaching out to either buy from you or to use your services. All that work you've been putting into creating the awesomest party ever is now inviting people into your quote unquote house. Pay close attention to your marketing budget and previously identified metrics and adjust your spending accordingly. Hopefully now you have reached the expansion stage, which can lead to an additional 16 to 28 months or more. You may start to see trends that lead you to make updates to your campaign. You may have to adjust or just completely scrap ideas and create new ones to keep up. Times are changing and you got to change with them. At this point, you've established recognition as a thought leader and have gained brand power, and you've hopefully a consistent stream of revenue. This does generally happen with a sophisticated digital marketing strategy. And if you've done it right, you enter the last stage, which is growth. So again, I'm going to use the imaging of a party. You've created the most awesomest party in the whole wide world now. Now everybody wants to come to your party. You've got the right foods. You've got the right entertainment. You've got the right, all of the things, all of the drinks and all of the things. Everybody wants to be at your party. So growth is what happens in perpetuity of your company, meaning for the length of your company's lifespan. At this point, your company has experienced a viral growth. It is incredibly powerful, and it's generated mostly by your audience. So kind of like how you have a house party when you're a teenager and you tell 10 people and then like 500 people show up. this is the same thing. You can start to truly see what your audience responds to and create an emotional connection to your conversions. You should be able to use this data to build out future campaigns or enhance the current ones you may have. So now let's discuss a little bit about what we've done with digital marketing, and what did we find worked best for us?
Wow. It's so interesting to kind of listen to the timeline, right? Because you're right. I mean, most people feel like, because again, there's so much do-it-yourself these days, right?
Yes.
Immediately you can publish something and put it out there. And we want everything to be so instantaneous mm-hmm. that going over what you just said, like the cycle, I mean, simply the first three cycles, which is setup, traction, and positioning, will take you anywhere from a minimum of 2 to 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Before you get to even the expansion stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds so long in the environment we live in today where we want everything now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Is that when we see those things, when we see those people who are insta-famous, if you will, that didn't happen overnight. What we're seeing seems as though it's overnight, but it's not. It took them years to get to that place. So what seems to us to be instant isn't at all.
That's fair. I mean, the same could be said like previously, right? They all, like, there's that quote, I have no idea who said it, but I just remember it stuck in my head that, you know, overnight success, like, is 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now I think in the digital age, you know, overnight success still it's counted in years. It's not mm-hmm. counting in days and not even months. It's in years. And
yeah.
to your point, you're right. Like, if you listen to just kind of background interviews of influencers mm-hmm. and especially ones that made it big, meaning that they have millions of followers, they talk about how it took them years to get there and how they had to constantly put out content and be thoughtful about it and put it out daily, if not several times a day, to start gaining that traction, mm-hmm. which is the second stage of that cycle you're in. So, yeah, it sounds exhausting.
Yeah, well, it is exhausting, but I will tell you what, you know, before I started my company, for years I was in sales. And prior to that, what I went to school for was for journalism and PR, and a minor in English, but like that was just for my journalism degree. But in any case, so when I wanted to get into a world that I was not as familiar with, which is more of a corporate world, I knew that I didn't know how to speak their language. And plus, mm-hmm. I had moved here from Michigan, where, like, the last time I lived in Virginia, I was a young teenager. So, like, I only knew how to connect on that level, you know, like, I knew how to connect to people in Michigan as an adult, but I didn't know how to connect to people here. And I needed to know, what language do they speak here? What is their love language? And so I took a course at the local community college on intercommunication so that I could kind of brush up on intercommunication. And it helped me understand better how people were going to hear me. Because that, and I had spent many years prior to that, using my skills in either on a journalistic, cause I did a lot of freelance, writing for various, publications. And I also did a lot of social media work and whatnot. So, but I needed to know how people spoke in the corporate language. And I found that it wasn't so much about how I spoke to them, but how they heard me. So my focus wasn't as much what did I say, but my focus was more so on how were they going to hear the words that I'd say. And that, I think, is where people lack their social media, I guess, prowess, is that they're saying things and they're like, why aren't people understanding what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm saying. No, it's not about what you're saying, man. It's about how people are hearing what you're saying. And are they buying in? Is this an experience they want to have?
Yeah. I mean, you can almost say that there's a love language in social media too,
mm-hmm.
right? Kind of like what you were saying is you're talking about kind of physical and interpersonal communication, but the same as you had mentioned before, could be said about how you apply that to the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because for people like you and me, where we had a generation, we basically grew up in a generation for like, half of our lives. I think I'm aging us at this point. But for half of our lives, there was no social media. There wasn't this vast digital world that everybody lives in now. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up, you know, in the decade where AOL was just invented, and we still remember when Facebook required a college email.
Yeah.
So for us, it is about like learning a new language and learning how this world works. But on the other side of that, I personally feel like it is kind of such an opportunity too, because before this world was invented, the way to market was, you know, you buy those direct mail, like mailing ads, or you buy an ad in a magazine or enough magazines, hopefully, that you reach enough people. Or if you can afford it, you buy an ad on TV and maybe the radio, right? And it was so expensive and so clunky, and you only can be heard by a small group of people. So now with this digital marketing, it's opened up the doors for anybody to participate in, which is, it's such a good thing.
Yeah.
But my personal experience is this, like I said, you know, because I was in a generation where we didn't grow up with it, I felt like it was a little bit more of a learning curve.
Yeah.
And so I myself personally, I'm not on social media personally.
Yeah.
But I found that to compete and to advertise and to have more ways to attract customers to my company or my first company, you had to get into a digital media, a digital marketing space. It was just a smart move to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. Because I knew that running a business was so busy, and my forte is not in Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or any of the above, like content creation by any means, I outsourced it.
And that's okay.
And it was the best decision ever.
Oh yeah. And you know what? I think it's important for our listeners to know that this isn't something that you should feel that you should have to do, because not everybody knows all of those subtle nuances and the way to create an experience. And that's okay. You really should be hiring someone unless you know what you're doing. Like in my case, I'm a writer, so I know how to write. I know how to evoke emotion, because that's what I have done all my career life. You know what I mean? Like
and it probably comes natural to you too, right? Like
it comes naturally to me, but I don't expect everybody to feel that way. Like, you know, for some people it doesn't, and that's okay. Absolutely. It's okay. You should definitely put aside, that's why I think I mentioned budgeting. You should definitely be putting aside a marketing budget, because it is very important that you enter the digital frame and not think that pay-per-click is the place to be, because that's not the place to be. People don't want to be sold anymore. I don't know if they ever did, but I think it's more prevalent now in a post-COVID world. People really do not want to be sold to. They want to feel as though they made this decision all by themselves. And I speak for myself as well, and I'm probably maybe making assumption for you too. Like, you don't want someone to tell you what to do. You want to make the decision of what you're doing based on your own fervent research of, you know, maybe reading the first 30 Amazon reviews of whatever it is that you're buying. But that's how I am with literally everything that I buy. I mean, there's not even the smallest thing. I'm like, well, how many people had a problem with this? I don't know, Rubik's Cube. And I'm not making that up. I did do look at the reviews on Rubik's Cubes for my son. So I was like, how many, well, did anybody say that this one broke? No, this one's a good one. Oh, this one does not seem so great. So if I'm doing research on a Rubik's Cube, like imagine what people are doing for anything that you're offering. People want to feel like they are having an experience. And you should want that for your company, right? Like, this is your baby, and businesses. Well, maybe babies too, but you want people to feel the same love and joy that you have, right? Like, yeah, I guess it would be the same for babies. Like, when somebody's holding your baby, you want them to feel like, oh, what a cute little baby, right? Because you're like, isn't this the cutest baby you've ever seen? I agree with you. It should be.
Well, you have a little more control in how this baby comes out. Let's just say that.
But it should be the same with a business. People should feel the same joy and excitement working with your company that you feel working with your company. And if you can't evoke that, hire someone to evoke it. Because if someone feels it, they're more likely to buy into it. And if they're likely to, again, feel it and buy into it, they're likely to tell other people to buy into it. There are companies that I, again, speak maybe for the both of us. There are some companies and services and products that I will pay extra for because I like the way it makes me feel. Because I feel like this is the kind of company I want to be working with.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly there's something to be said about customers buying based on feelings, right? It's you know, we're human and it's all about based how we feel. We always want to feel good. The other thing I would say is that there is a place for ads and, you know, ways to get people to be aware of what your product and service is, right? Especially if you're in the industry and you're in a unique niche or a small niche, or it's a niche that you basically came up with that nobody knows what it is yet, and you have to define it and get it out there. There's something to be said about digital marketing allowing you to build that awareness through different platforms with outbound marketing techniques. And so that's what's also so great about digital marketing, is that you can do that with oftentimes depends on how you do it, whether you want to do it yourself or you want to hire somebody to do it. You could do it for a modest price without as much as you would have to pay for with traditional marketing. And then as far as for the content and whatnot, content strategy and how you want to do that, again, you can pick and choose your battles, right? So personally, what I did was when I had first started the company, I mean, I was bootstrapping everything. It was my first company. I only had so much. I can only spend the money that I was making. So, you know, and I didn't go into debt doing this. So I had to be modest. I thought about who my customers were, where they would likely be found, what would they be, where the eyeballs would be at if they're on their phones. And I focused my strategy by spending money on outsourcing for content that was localized to LinkedIn and blogs, because I knew my customers, that's what they wanted to read. They wanted to read about information. They're also frequent users of LinkedIn, and they wanted kind of long form content, right? Something beyond just a Twitter or however many, I don't even know how many characters on Twitter limit is. This is how often I use Twitter.
I think it's 145. I did kind of like throw that number out, but I think it's 145.
I don't know. Anyways, but then, you know, that the same thing, it's the idea of you sit there and you think about your company, you think about your customers, you think about where they're going to be, kind of like Savannah, what you were saying about, like, you know, what party are you attending? And dress right for the party, right? You know, pick the right platform for the people in your party.
Absolutely. And if you're going to be the one hosting the party, you got to make it clear what kind of party is this going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just a lot more thought on your end. And sure, you can hire somebody to kind of walk you through it. I mean, of course, there are a lot of digital marketing companies that are really good and they can help you develop your strategy. But I would just say this as a founder of a company, is that the idea, the genesis of your brand comes from you. So you want to make sure that you're clearing your head about what your brand is so that you can actually articulate it and help somebody else understand what that is. So if you do outsource it, they know what direction to run towards, because you're not giving them mixed messages, right? You can't blame them for not doing a good job if you're not giving them the clear direction to do it. And if you're clearing your head, I mean, like I said, outsourcing was an amazing thing for me. I just had to approve it once a week, look at all the articles, give it my input, make changes where I want, and then it got done for me. And I can tell you that I maybe once a week, maybe every 2 weeks, somebody would comment like in person to just let me know that, hey, you know, that thing that you put out there that you wrote, like that was good. And I'm like, oh, yep. Well, thank you very much.
I put a lot of time to work into
it. I wrote
that.
It all myself. Whatever. No, just kidding. No. But that's good, right? And that's ways of knowing that it's actually working for you, which that's also the other thing about digital marketing. It's measurable. Most platforms you go into, if you sign up for a business account for it, whether it's social media, even your own website, it comes with analytics and measurements to show you what the reaction is digitally, which is also a huge form of measurement that you can take to make sure that you're going in the right direction.
I agree. In each episode, we like to connect a famous example to our discussion to help you relate our talking points on a more global or well-recognized scale. Sometimes we use exact examples of either famous persons or successful business owners of today or in history, and sometimes we use examples of people who inspire us and have inspired today's discussion.
My example is Dollar Shave Club.
Oh, yes.
So this is actually an excerpt from an article on Harvard Business School's website. So in short, Dollar Shave Club produces and sells affordable razors and claim that their quality is comparable, if not more trusted than the most expensive razors out in the market. As a company, Dollar Shave Club started their operations in 2011 and then started to climb their way up to becoming a well-recognized challenger in the man grooming business as of 2012, when their hugely successful video ad came out. This ad, which we have linked in the show notes below, and I highly recommend that if you want a good chuckle, definitely go watch it. It went viral and currently has over 26 million views on YouTube alone.
Wow.
Today, with the creation of the content, which helped the company grow its reach and generate significant curiosity around the value proposition of the product, another of the keys of success for Dollar Shave Club's initial growth until their acquisition by Unilever for a cool $1 billion, was their ability to generate consumer engagement on social platforms. Dollar Shave Club clearly leveraged some of the newest opportunities coming from the new digital advertising world. So, how exactly did Dollar Shave Club leverage digital marketing? Well, their success would not be possible without their ability to ride the wave of transformation of media, which becoming a tool that can help reach consumers at a fraction of the cost versus traditional channels. On top, they were able to craft a message and create a community of people that is always engaged in social platforms and via targeted CRM initiatives. So CRM being customer relation management. All right. As a use case, if a member posts about the brand on Instagram or Facebook, Dollar Shave Club shares their favorite post and rewards members with purchase merchandise. Or similarly, the power and of speed and scale of the digital world was used to run word of mouth campaigns among its users as well. They basically leveraged all forms of digital advertisement in talking to the users in such a targeted way and with relevant content. This is how they were able to leverage digital marketing to their own success.
Well, did you happen to throw a bucket of ice over your head at any point in 2014?
I watched a lot of videos of people throwing buckets of ice over their head.
I took video of my husband getting his bucket of ice thrown over his head. Actually, I can't even remember how much money got donated just because of our video. But anyway, if you did answer yes, then you know what a successful digital marketing campaign can make you do. In 2014, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge seemingly came out of thin air, and it became one of the most viral campaigns of all time. ALS is not a well-known disease to most. It unfortunately is for me because my mother-in-law passed away from it when my husband was only 18 years old. Because it is such a little-known disease, there's very little funding that goes toward it. This is where the Ice Bucket Challenge comes in. It was simple and clear and helped people raise money for a good cause. It was the perfect combination of marketing and charity. One of the greatest aspects of this campaign was its sense of urgency. You had 24 hours to nominate someone and for that person to also accept and then do the Ice Bucket Challenge. The challenge was to take a large bucket of ice, sometimes ice water, and nominate someone, then say how much you were going to donate. Afterwards, you would dump the ice over your head, and all of this would be filmed and posted online. Over a 30-day period, over 2.4 million videos were tagged on Facebook, and $100 million was raised. It's a lot of money. By the end of the summer, $115 million was donated to the ALS Association. Because of the Ice Bucket Challenge, scientists were able to use those funds to discover a new gene that is tied to ALS. The discovery means that treatments won't be limited to one subset of people, but perhaps to a more broad group. So when this came out, I remember it being like all the kids, of course, all the kids were getting involved. So that was the most brilliant part of this to me. Kids were wanting to do it, but their parent had to shell out the money.
That's brilliant.
So, It is brilliant. So in our case, we did it because of my husband's close attachment to ALS and our thrill that anyone was saying anything about ALS. And of course, we were going to get involved. However, if we did not have a connection to the disease, all it took was for our daughter to be like, everybody's doing this ice bucket challenge. We need to do the ice bucket challenge. And we're like, what is the ice bucket challenge? And then, of course, we were like, well, yeah, heck yeah, we'll get involved in it. And that's what I think every parent's conversation was with their teenage child who was doing it. But I thought that was brilliant. It was genius. It was genius marketing. And it is a perfect example of what digital marketing can do.
I agree.
With each episode, we like to share either books, tools, apps, platforms, or anything we think is a great next step and connector to our discussion. So if you like our subject matter and want to learn more, you'll have a great place to start.
So I have a couple things to recommend for reading and then just a word of advice. So as far as books go, this is a book that I read, which I would highly recommend. It's called Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products by Nair Eyal. So in this book, you get to learn how to create triggers, get your customers to take action, reward them, and basically set up a repeat customer habit following the quote-unquote hooked model, which has been adapted by many of the world's leading technology companies. And in the book, the author goes into a lot of examples and practical advice on how what this model is and how to actually apply it on a day-to-day basis. And this book is kind of geared toward products. Of course, in the title, it says habit-forming products. But usually the same concepts that apply to products can be applied to services too, which is why I think this is a book that's relevant to everyone. The other book I am also recommending is called Jab, Jab, Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk, also known as Gary V. Now, I haven't personally read this book, but when I was doing research on the subject for this episode, this book kept coming up in recommendations. So it's received very high praise and reviews on multiple platforms and blogs. And of course, I've heard of Gary Vee. I'm sure you have too, Savannah. And I really do admire a lot of his accomplishments and all the various businesses he started and really just kind of like his intention behind his messaging. And he himself has shown how to basically create a very strong following through online content, which no doubt drives the success of his personal brand, as well as the many companies that he has created, even since he started putting himself out there on social media. And so this book primarily is focused on social media marketing.
Cool.
Yeah, there's one more article on HubSpot, which I gained some of the information about digital marketing as well when I was doing the research, and I'll go ahead and link that in the show notes below. Definitely take a read through that article as well. And then my word of advice is the great thing is with digital marketing, I would say, like, don't be afraid to experiment, jump in it, and get creative, right? If you don't have the dollars for it, then you can get creative and do it yourself. The great thing about digital marketing is that most platforms you use, whether or not social media or your own website, like I said, provides you with the analytics and the data to give you measurement on how well your strategy is working, right? So remember to use that information, use that data, but also couple that and keep that in mind with the cycles that we had talked about earlier in this episode, because you kind of want to have a realistic expectation set for yourself of how well your strategy is working and how long it will take for you to see the results of your strategy so that you're not sitting there, you know, on day two wondering why you've built it and nobody has come.
Right. I agree. And those are great recommendations. And I knew that you were going to have great, books to recommend. So, and for me, when it comes to digital marketing, it's important to familiarize yourself with the cycle and the steps. So, I do think it's important that you maybe dive a little deeper into what those five stages are. But I don't know that I recommend you DIY it if you can. The landscape is constantly evolving. So self-guided learning is okay, but it shouldn't be the only way. I recommend you do a lot of research on marketing firms and marketing strategists to find the right fit for you and your company. Now, let's do that. And then if you feel like it's way out of your price range right now, then then yes, DIY until you are at a place in which you can't afford it. Invest in someone who can take your brand to a digital stage. That's when you're really going to flourish. I know you recommended the books and the tools, and I think that those are fantastic recommendations. So my recommendation is more so on the research of finding someone that can assist you. And and also find out where in your budget this is going to exist.
I completely agree with you there. I think it's, you know, definitely take a realistic assessment of your strengths and your weaknesses. And if digital marketing and content strategy and all this is not your strength, then get out of your own way. Mm-hmm. Hire an expert to help you along so you can have faster momentum. And that way you can focus on what you're really good at in your business and also just be able to kind of get ahead to your next business goal faster.
Yes, I agree. So please join us for our next episode where we will discuss hiring post-COVID. Speaking of experiences, this will be a three-part series where we will focus on what's changed, what's remained, interview processes, onboarding and offboarding, plus much more. Please show us your support by following us on your preferred podcast platform, social media, and YouTube. We'd love for you to also share our episodes. All of our links are posted below. Until next time, mind your business behind your small business.